All right. We're going to be in Matthew 14:14 this morning. Let's just start in 13. All right. Start in 13. Now, when Jesus heard about the crowd, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard this, they followed him on foot from the cities. He went ashore. He saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, be with this message this morning. Help me to describe your characteristics of compassion accurately, Lord, and help me to inspire others to take these attributes on and to think about them and pray about them so you can add it to them, Lord, and that we may have set our mind to be more compassionate, Lord. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Just seems kind of out there, just said. You just felt compassion for them. Hey, I feel compassion for you. Doesn't really seem like a normal thing, does it? But as we go through, I'll describe it a little bit better, what he really seen. So, talking about compassion here, compassion's definition is sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. That's compassion's definition of compassion. So, sometimes I try to think of what compassion isn't, and that helps me think of what compassion is too. So, compassion is not feeling and helping someone so you feel better about yourself. That's not compassion. Compassion is not feeling for someone and doing nothing. That's not compassion. Compassion is not helping someone without feeling for someone. So, we all see it in the world a lot, how people help someone and they talk to everybody about it. Oh, it just made me feel good to help them, you know, and it's really not compassion. That's self-serving. It's one of those things that you see everywhere that the world has it down pat. And that's why a lot of people just help people just so they can feel better about themselves. Don't get me wrong. They do feel for that person a little bit. But in the end, it's about how they did it. You know, you see a lot of people without even asking will raise money for somebody. You know, they might have had insurance that covered everything, but and then they said, well, you really didn't need the money, you know. But they just did it because they felt good about organizing things and like that. But nothing wrong with that. But Christianity is compassion because you feel for them and you want to alleviate the pain or the suffering or whatever going through. It's not about enabling them, you know, just because they got something wrong and that we need to fix it for them. It's not about that. It's about truly helping them so they can overcome something. If we just help them and they need to learn a lesson, it doesn't really do any good. So, we're going to get that in, we're going to understand a little bit better about compassion by Psalms 103:13. I'm going to read the whole chapter because it talks about compassion quite a bit in there. But I'm just going to kind of dwell on a couple of them there. Maybe not all of it, but we'll go through them. 103 verse 1, Psalms. Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Let's stop there at verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, you parents, mothers and fathers, you really know when your kid's hurting and when something's wrong with them. Maybe they've been bullied. Maybe they've been in the playground and just not gotten along with their friends. Or maybe they're hurting, sick, in bed, lying there. Those aren't the times you say, "Suck it up, buttercup," is it? Those aren't the times. That's when your compassion really comes out. Because they are yours. Right? You feel for them. Every ounce of hurting, you're hurting. You don't want to see them that way. So, the Lord really teaches us how He feels about us. You know, He has compassion for all of us. And what I described there in 103, what I read, is really a description of compassion. How He feels for us and how He acts upon those things. See, that's what it's really about. So think of compassion as how you feel about your kids. If you don't have kids, how you feel about your dog. How you feel about your parents when they were hurting and things. That's compassion. You just can't let it go. You just can't push it aside. You've got to help. Let's go to Matthew 9, 36. Jesus, again, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Okay, this first part, if you look at it, they were distressed and dispirited. That's how He's looking at the world. That's how He's looking at us before we came to Christ. Distressed and dispirited. That's what He's seeing. That's how He's feeling for people. Do you think it may be how we should develop compassion? Because a lot of people look happy, but they're suffering. I guarantee it. I guarantee that everyone in this world is suffering. Not us. We're blessed with everything we have. We're not suffering. We're not. It's a mindset. But the world has no hope. Nothing. They can't make it to heaven. They got nothing to look forward to. Every day is like Groundhog Day. It's happened to me again. I can't stand this. What is going on? You know? But we don't see that. We got to look at them as in the flesh, knowing that they have no hope. You think Jesus looked at these people? They're out there listening, ready for every word He's got. And He sees them as distressed and dispirited. So compassion, to build compassion, is to look for and to know what God says about the world, because that would be the truth, right? Not what you see physically, but if we look according to the Spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, recognize no man according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we're looking at their spirits, and their spirits are distressed. So it's important how we look at people and how we think as we're walking through life. Because I don't have it down yet, but I understand it more today than I did yesterday. And that's what we have to push for and press for. To understand things better than we did yesterday. If I wouldn't looked up and studied compassion, I wouldn't know about it. That's what we have to do. We have to press and push to understand His words. If you look here, He's seen a problem, and He acted upon it, didn't He? He's seen that there was distressed and dispirited people out here, and He goes, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." And directly after that, what's He do? He acts. He takes 12 disciples, puts them into service. Go out. Go out. He's seen them. See, compassion is feeling for people, their hurts inside, and acting upon it. I am very calloused sometimes. I think, suck it up, buttercup a lot. You know, toughen up. Everybody's got problems. Just got to deal with them. That's not compassion. How are you going to help? How are you going to see that guy standing right beside you working with every day? How are you going to help him? Knowing that he's got a problem. Knowing that he's dispirited. Knowing that he's disgusted, disheartened, all those disses you can think about. He's got them. He might not manifest them to you, but how are you going to help him? Sometimes it's not monetarily, like that would be monetarily. Sometimes you just can't out of the blue give him a hug. That'd be a little odd, wouldn't it? But how about just being there for him? Drop of a hat. Just knowing that he needs your help. And the moment that that time arises, you act. What happens if you don't think about that every day? The guy you're beside, the person in front of you in line, things like that. They drop something on the ground, you're there to snatch it up and pick it up for them and wish him a good greeting. Those kind of things is what I'm talking about. Everyday life, not this person's sick in bed and I need to go visit them. That has to be done. And that's a huge part of our job, and we all know that. And we can see that. And sometimes our busy lives of the flesh that don't want to drop the flesh to go visit things and visit people and do things that would make their lives a little better so that they could see God. They could see Jesus in the flesh. See, I really think compassion is one of the biggest character traits that He needs to work in us if we let Him. And we think differently than we did yesterday. See, compassion is feeling and acting. Feeling and acting. You know, there's a lot of... Let's go to Matthew 18. There's a lot of... the way I look at things sometimes. And kind of tells us, Jesus does in a parable. Matthew 18, I don't know why I started in 21 there. It's really more about compassion than forgiveness, which kind of go hand in hand, I guess, in this part. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle his accounts with the slaves. When he began to settle them, one owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have any means to repay him, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' For the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave his debt." We have been forgiven so much. He had so much compassion on us. We run aground every sin, almost every sin, that we could have in our past lives. And He forgave us. He pushed us to the limit, and we caved because we could no longer be dispirited or disgruntled, guilty, all those things. We needed a way out, and He forgave us. If we had to pay that debt back, never could do it. We couldn't. He felt that much compassion on us. That's how we have to feel to others. It's hard. Because we were trained in that old life. That old life said, "Yo, earned this. You deserve this. They need to pay me back because I worked hard for this. I need it now." That's our old life. But see, if you read the rest of that story, that guy that was forgiven, he went and choked out the guy behind him that owed him money after God, or after the servant, or after the king just forgave him all his. He was still going to get his. No compassion. I think we can learn something from that. If we keep that in our head, what God has forgiven us, I think we'll remember. I think we'll be a little more conscientious and we'll act in the right way if we remember what He's done for us. I think that's how we build compassion. And again, walking in the flesh does not have compassion. But walking in the Spirit does. What's the difference? One mind is set on the Spirit, the other's mind is set on the flesh. That's all it is. What are you thinking about? What's your purpose? He's going to work if your mind is set on the Spirit. Renewing the mind isn't only scriptures. It isn't only sucking up each verse in here and He's going to change me. Conscience of who you are and whose you are. Are you conscious of that? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every breath was given to me. I could die tomorrow. He could take me because He wanted. Because He could. He could. Compassion. Thanks for that breath. What can I do for you? What can I do for your servants? What can I do for your world that you created? What can I do with everything you've created? You gonna smash it? You gonna tear it down? You gonna kick it? Or are you going to love what He's made? Because everybody out there was made by Him. Everybody. Everything. Cherish it. No matter what they do to you. Cherish it. No matter who you work beside. Maybe it's your old neighbor that professes to be a Christian. Cusses up a storm on Facebook and everywhere else he is, and you just want to smack him in the face, but because it doesn't do Jesus any good. But God made him for a purpose, you know, for a purpose. I don't know what it is. Maybe He's the one that I reach next. I don't know, but I got to look at Him different than I did yesterday. I got to have compassion. One more verse. Colossians 3:12. Mindset for the week, people. Mindset for the week, or for not the week, but for the rest of the next 7 days and beyond. And for the week, I guess, too. Colossians 3:12. So those who have been chosen of God, that's us. For those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart. Right here in the mind, what are you thinking? Put on a heart of compassion. Put it on. He gave it to you. You gonna leave it sit in the closet? Put it on. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing, holding it up, taking it on for someone else, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has complaint against anyone. A lot of complaining can be done, can't it? Inside the church and outside, wherever you go, can be a lot of complaining. How much can you bear? If you got to bear it up, bear one another, how much can you bear? All of it? We got no excuse, do we? Hebrews says that Jesus went to the cross for our sins, suffered, bearing our shame. He put it on. Most compassionate person ever in the flesh. That's who He was. That's who we are. We have His Spirit in us. We have His Spirit in us. We have that kind of compassion. We just have to unleash it. We have to unleash that. The only way you can do it is walk in the Spirit. This is who I am. Jesus in the flesh. He's going to work with you. He's going to change you. In the twinkling of an eye. With that kind of faith. It's really what I'm talking about. It's faith that you have these things. And this is who you are. It's really what we're talking about. It's not my Christian faith. Or I got faith in the Bible. Or I got faith in every word that comes out of His mouth. And everything He says, that's the kind of faith we have. That's the kind of faith we build. So let's go out. Let's push, press for the upward call. Let's be who we are. Be who we are. Thank you.